third and six. Chargers bring four. Jones steps up in the tight window. Guess who? Stripling with another catch and a big gain across the 35. R.J. Mickens finally halts him, but a 22.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I know Eagle of the NFL Network. He's talented. Jones hitting, he's one of the best, Noah Eagle, I would say. Oh, I thought you meant Stribling.
Oh, I was talking about Eagle, Mr. Eagle.
49ers, young players looked pretty good yesterday. They beat the Chargers 41-17. And why don't I just take some calls?
Let's do it.
There's been people some wait. There's been some people
I'll
waiting.
See them.
And I think I'm going to give them a crack at it. And I don't know what they're going to bring up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it.
Let's go to Joel in Berkeley. Hey, Joel, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, I mean, can you guys give me your version of the Pods hate? What are you hearing?
Oh, boy. I think, first of all, I'm not in this group, but I think there are a lot of Warrior fans that, well, I know there are a lot of Warrior fans that they just don't like Pods. They think he's a little too big for his britches. They think that he's too much of a favorite of Steve Kerr's. I think some fans think he gets a little preferential treatment. I think that he got himself into trouble with a couple quotes about Steph Curry and what his role may be in the future. And I think that some fans believe that he gets an outsized share of the credit when the Warriors play well.
And I'll add this, all true, and I agree, but I'll add this. It doesn't matter now, but I feel like people think Pod's got a silver spoon and preferential treatment. And the Kuminga part, when people were pro-Kuminga, felt like, why can't he get the chances or opportunities to make mistakes and stay in the game when Pods was felt like, you know, afforded different luxuries. But I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think it's dying down.
Oh, we lost him.
Oh.
I thought we were going to have a dialogue. Maybe he'll call back. Anyway, I don't know how much we're going to get into this. I just kind of brought it up at the beginning of at the end of last segment, and that's just Evan had brought something up with Adamas, and he feels like Adamas is really in the doghouse with Giants fans.
He's the leader right down the bay, I believe.
Okay, we got Joel back. Hey, Joel. So yeah, those were a couple of the things we were thinking about. You know, why some fans don't like Brandon Pajemski.
Okay, well, I'm a Pods lover. And I think it's odd to me I think Steiny, you're down on this plus minus stat, but I really like the plus minus. And if you look at like who's really great at it, it kind of just reads right down there like the guys who are really contributing. And I think Pods is a much lighter skinned version of Andre Iguodala. You know, he does all the stuff that nobody notices. Defensively, way better rebounder than people give him credit for. And I think honestly, if the dude was shooting over 40% on threes, fans would love him. And that's basically it. You got to give him a chance to, polish his game. And the fact that he said, hey, someday I want to be better than Steph, man, you know, it's like that Dancing with the Stars thing or whatever it used to be, the guy that did the music show. You know, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
As long as he's putting in the work and trying hard, why not shoot for, hey, I want to be better than Steph one day? I mean, you know, there's 18,000 little kids out there right now jacking up threes from beyond the driveway at their garage-mounted hoop thinking they're going to be better than Steph one day, and more power to them. I hope they all are. But, you know, I mean, the dude's got some dreams.
Hey, Joel, I'll give you this.
Into a microphone.
Yeah, Joel, I'll give you this. For you know, I'm a fan too. Forget the fans; his team loves him and appreciates him.
Yeah, and that says something. Nobody on the team is like, man, I can't believe Pajemski's still here. Nope, you don't hear that. And I mean, you know, nobody on a team would say stuff like that into a microphone unless
that's
the guy was real.
That's true.
But also, go ahead. My other thing on your Steve Young, Joe Montana comparison there. Remember when Monte Ellis got traded? How did the fans take that? And yet, how long did it take Steph Curry to turn that around?
Mm. Yep.
You know?
It's a fair point.
Steve Young, one championship.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thanks, Joel. Appreciate the call.
I was hurt when they traded him, Steiny.
Yeah, I mean,
but look, I wasn't mad at Bogut, you know?
I believe, I mean, as long as we're going to talk about this, yeah, to me, in the grand scheme of things, Pods gets an outsized share of the blame for whatever's going on with the Warriors. He's the opposite of a fan favorite. There's just no doubt about it. And my question is less now about why, because I think we know why certain fans aren't crazy about Pods. The bigger question to me at this point is, can he ever come back from that? Like, will he ever, was Mike Dunleavy, after the first two or three years, was he ever going to come back from the way fans felt about him his first 3 years? He might have been able to turn it around, but he never did. What? And so the question, it almost doesn't matter anymore why people might not like Pods or a segment. Question is, can he come back from it? Can he ever be successful here? That's my question.
And my answer would be, and this is why I keep going back to Adamus, what's Pods' job, Steiny, when it's all said and done? Not to be the one, not to be the superstar, but to be Steady Freddy. And I think he's on that street and has pretty much done that. But guys like Adamus and guys like Mike Dunleavy, when their job is to be the guy, and then maybe you're something below that, a couple levels, or maybe even further, that's where I think the shade comes in. But as far as the Pods, can he turn it around? Like, he doesn't need to turn his play around. Obviously, they can all improve, but I feel like if he's still Steady Freddy and we find out they extend him, the Pod's experience will be, I'll never be a superstar, but can I just not mess it up and help? And, you know, I didn't agree with the Iguodala comp, but he does rebound and do a lot of other things. But the bottom line is, he doesn't have to be a superstar, Steiny. But then you could retort and say, well, Goo, why is there hate? Or, why do some people hate him? And I know you don't like this, but I subscribe to it, and it's still, the residue is there. Why is he able to make mistakes and stay in the game, and Kuminga can't? Now, Kuminga's gone and moved on, and I think that bodes well for Pods.
What doesn't bode well for Pods is if he gets a contract extension this year. If Pods gets a contract extension this year, it's going to make this thing more of a focus if he gets a contract extension this year. And again, my question is, you know, have there ever been any players in the Bay that have become somebody who has alienated a part of the fan base, and are they ever able to get it back and kind of come full circle and be somebody that everybody supports?
I got a name for you. You tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in my top five receivers of all time. Terrell Owens. I think he alienated the fan base to the point to where he alienated the team, and they got rid of him. But, you know, he was a rising star, and then he turned into a star. But then do you think the fans turned on him?
I got to be honest with you. That was a long time ago. I'm struggling to remember the details, to be absolutely honest with you. His was a name that had come up, though. I just kind of...
He turned into a diva, man. I love it.
No doubt. I mean, I guess the one difference between Terrell, Owens and Pods is Owens was a superstar.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we knew that he was a superstar. So, you know, Pods, I think... takes a lot of heat because people think he thinks he's a superstar,
man.
Though he never has said anything remotely close to that. Other than he'd like to carry on the legacy of Steph Curry and Draymond and Clay and all those guys. Mm. Let's go to Big Smoothie,
our man.
Big Smoothie's in Oakland. What's up, Smooth?
Hey. Joe barely cares because he made a lot of money and people thought he was lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Did Marcy say she dreamed about me, or did I imagine? Did Marcy say she had a dream about me? No, that was something else.
No, that was Snoop, yeah.
Okay. I thought she said Smooth. Oh. You said Snoop, I thought she said Smooth.
Listen, sorry, baby.
I'm going to put this pod stuff to bed, okay? Because I'm a critic, but I just want to see him get better. Go back and look at the draft. Okay. There's only five people... Victor, you got Wimby, you got Brandon Millers, Amen Thompson, Osir Thompson. And then you got Scoot Henderson. Well, I'd rather have Pods than Scoot Henderson. Anthony Black, I'd rather have Potts. Collaby, Potts. Jarice Walker. All these people were picked before him. Potts. Taylor Hendricks, Potts. Kaysen Wallace. I'd go either one. Jet Howard, Potts. So what I'm saying is, if you look at that draft, Potts at picked at, what, 19?
Yeah.
Potts is clearly in the top six in that draft.
Right.
The top six players in that draft are going to get extended. Stop it. Stop it, Warriors fans. That was a good pick. If you go look at that class, we won that pick. And in terms of, if you look at the other players, there's a lot of busts in that. I won't call them busts, but there's a lot of players that were picked before Potts, and Potts is better.
Yeah, it's smooth. They certainly haven't gotten to the point where Pods is at.
Smooth, I'm going to fight you on this, and I like Pods, but I'm taking Black and Scoot.
Tell me how you going to fight me on this.
I'm taking Black and Smooth.
Tell me how you going to fight me on
this. I'm taking Black and Scoot over Pods. That's just what I'm doing. That's all.
You're tripping.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
What is Scoot Henderson?
He's a better basketball player. He's a better basketball player, Smooth. It's okay.
How?
We disagree.
How are you basing that? What are you basing that on?
On their performance and their skill set and Black.
Oh, you're wrong.
Oh,
look,
stop. You thought LeBron was coming too.
You holding that against
me? No, I'm not Smooth. Scoot Henderson is a baller, man. He could play. He ain't reached his potential. He's a baller.
When is he a baller, dude? When is he a baller?
Watch the games, man. Watch the games.
And I've watched it. Yeah. I'm Scoot out of high school. Right. He's not better than Pods right now.
All right. Anthony Black is a pretty good ball player to me, Stoney.
Are we talking about Black or Henderson?
Both of them, for me.
I'd rather have Pods than Scoot Henderson.
I got you.
I mean,
Evan, who would you? Evan, who would you rather have?
Hasn't even started on the Blazers.
Evan, who would you rather have?
Between Henderson and Pajemski?
Yeah,
Pajemski.
It's all right.
No, I was just asking.
Two each is hot. Yeah. Hey. Nobody's saying you're wrong.
Yell.
Nobody's saying you're wrong except Big Smooth.
Right.
The point is, I think we can all agree, Pods was a good pick at 19. People who are listening right now might be thinking, why are we talking about Pods? Well, it's just kind of, we come in with some ideas and then things happen. So the bottom line is, Evan and I were on a thread last night, and Evan said, man, Adamas is like the new Pods. It feels like he's really caught the wrath of Giants fans.
And I agree with that.
And my thought was, you know, when that happens, if you're telling me Adamas is in Pods territory, my feeling is, you know, when that happens to a player at home, all right, it's not a guy who's going on the road and is a villain. It's a guy who plays at home and isn't well-liked. It doesn't work out. It just doesn't work out. And I think you hit the nail on the head without realizing it when you're saying, you know, Pods just has to be Pods and, you know, keep doing what he's doing and getting better.
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough because there's too many fans that don't think what he does is good enough. And so I just find it's going to be hard for Pods to win over a certain segment of the fan base, whatever percentage that fan base is made up of.
Well, we've had, and you've quoted, and you tell me if I'm misquoting you, Brian Sabian on, and he shared with us that he, when he was running it, they cared what the fans thought. Now, this is a two-way street, and I'm going to veer off here. If I'm the Warriors organization, Stoney, you're not dare saying, because I believe they love Pods, that they would be a bit reluctant to give Pods or re-up Pods because of this, if we could call it, shout out Nelly, a dilemma.
Would you... If you were Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, would you have to put it in the equation that you know the fan base feels a certain way about Pods that maybe you don't think is fair?
Ah, Stoney, if he's doing his job, and I think they think he's doing his job, my answer would be we're in love with the player, and hopefully this thing will get – but, man, I can't not – you know, reward him when we like him, but the fan base, for whatever reason, does.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. The only, you know, the one guy that I can compare Pods to is Mike Dunleavy. Dunleavy was not well-liked. Now, he was the third pick, so people expected more from him. But the reality of the situation is Mike Dunleavy was not a fan favorite here. He sometimes got booed at home. There was a lot of frustration over his lack of emotion. And guess what? He got a contract extension, all right? And it got no better. In fact, it got a little worse. And then eventually Dunleavy was traded along with Troy Murphy.
Now, let me jump in real quick. Did his game get better, Stani? Isn't that a big part of it? Because I would lean toward
I don't know. Did Dunleavy's game get better? I mean, he didn't really, he didn't play a ton as a rookie. Then he played a little more. He kind of got buried under Musselman. Then Montgomery came and he got a little more time. But what I'm getting at is, Mike Dunleavy was the third pick and he wasn't an impact player. I thought he was okay. I thought he was a good role player. But that was never going to be enough, ever here. And that's the feeling I'm starting to get about Pods, is like he's not going to average 23-9 next year, so everyone's just going to fall in love with him. He's probably going to get better, marginally better, but it's not going to be good enough for a segment of the fans that doesn't like him. And it never will, I don't think.
But the organization is a different thing.
Well, I don't know.
They're looking at him as a positive.
You tell me.
Yeah, I would bet my right arm that he's getting a new deal.
Okay, but that I'm just telling that will not
go over.
Like, just
well.
Understand no. that's not going to change the dynamic, and it may make it worse. So all I'm saying is the dynamic probably won't go away if he signs a contract here. But this is the kind of discussion I love. If you're Mike Dunleavy and you're Joe Lacob and you're Steve Kerr, and hell, even if you're Brandon Pajemski. And you're all aware that the fan base doesn't like him for whatever reason. I mean, it's got to be a part of your discussion about whether you're going to extend him or not. It's not going to be the reason you do it one way or the other. But, I mean, if Pods were more sensitive, he might be like, I'm not re-signing here because I don't think I'm treated fairly.
But to his credit, he's not,
I don't know. We don't know. He's never said it. But, of course, then the segment of fans that don't like Pods would be like, great, perfect. Then he gets out of here. So I'm just telling you that it's not a productive situation, and it's tough to get back from that once that thing snowballs. And it's also not the best environment to put a guy in that you need to improve if he's in an environment where he feels like it's negative all the time. Let's go to Glenn in Dublin. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Steiny. Hey, Guru. Really love the show. Love the topic. Wanted to call in and give my take on why I think people don't like Brandon Pajemski. And I think there's two reasons for me. One reason is related to Jonathan Kuminga. I was a Jonathan Kuminga fan, and I think to see how Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Pajemski were treated on the court in terms of their playing time, to see that comparison in full display, I thought to me showed the favoritism and why I think fans don't like, a certain segment of the fan base doesn't like Pods. I think the other reason for me is I think there's an existential crisis with some of the fan base, and I'd love your thoughts on this. Love if you could put a segment on this, but I think there's a certain part of the fan base that is hardcore fans of Stephen Curry, and I think they built their following based on, rooting for Steph Curry and cheering for Steph Curry and reporting and saying everything great about Steph Curry. And I think now when you have someone like a Pajemski come in and say, hey, I want to be better than Steph Curry, I think all of the social media heads out there, big Warriors fans, I think they feel threatened when someone says something like that, that, hey, I built my social media account on rooting for Steph Curry, and here comes someone saying that they're going to be better than Steph Curry. I think the issue isn't with Brandon Pajemski. And the things he's said, I think he's a decent draft pick, I think has more to do with the fan base and people and the segment of fan base that built their following on Stephen Curry.
Interesting. Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
It is fascinating. But
I get on the one hand why people weren't crazy about, you know, I want to be better than Steph Curry. But, like, if you're a Steph Curry fan, it can't be about, well, Pods is going to take minutes from him. I mean, Curry's going to play as much as Curry can play.
But when you have a cult following like that, I'm just wondering, Stein, like, when we were talking to him, you, Evan, and I, face-to-face, Willard came in, point-blank, asked him. He said, you know, if he had it to do over again, he would take it back. But, unfortunately, you can't. But I just can't get off of the organization moving differently or even having a conversation about giving him, you know, making him or continuing to be a part of the future predicated on the fans. And I'm thinking of Nahegan. What if you were just kicking ass as a radio host, and you are, Stani, and maybe some people out here in the Bay didn't like you, but they listen. Would he not? I mean, you would be a fixture. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know. I mean, I don't
be like all the fans.
I don't get booed in the middle of shows. You know what I mean?
Well, we probably do. We just don't know it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. I'm just saying that, look, I don't want to do a show on why don't like Pods.
Because we'll never get to the reasons.
We always get to the reasons. We always know why people don't like him, and they bring up, you know, the same 6 to 8 things. My question is, once he's gotten to this point, and now that he's there, now that any athlete is there, hell, we could use, what, Brandon Ayuk? In a way, we could use Adamas in a way. I don't think Devers has gotten there, but there have been players, Dunleavy, who just never crawled out of a hole they started in here for whatever reason. And if I were the Golden State Warriors, no, I would not be dictated by what the fans think. But you're damn right, I would be talking to Mike and Joe and saying, you do realize that if we break this guy off 4 years for $90 million, there's going to be a segment of the fans that aren't going to like it. Okay, fine. Big deal. That happens with every deal. Right. Great. We can deal with that. But it's more than that with Pods, and we know it. He's going to have to operate in an environment that won't be very conducive to improving, because people are going to be on him.
I'm talking
about fans. It's not easy to play in front of fans that don't like you on your home arena, on your home court.
So I know we're up against it. I just got to get this off. Have you noticed he's not been at all the games like he used to, the Valkyrie games? And I just wonder, is that on purpose?
I don't know.
Like if people use that against him, you know? Like Dunleavy didn't say anything to bring vitriol towards him. Adamas, for that matter. But then I look at the Gatorade bass. They used to rub me the wrong way. And sometimes I'm like, man, how fair is that? But I do notice that he's not at the games, front row, making it about him like he used to be. And I wonder if there's a connection. Like dialing it down.
888-957-9570 is the number. We started talking about Willie Adamas. Has he reached the point where he's not going to be able to win back the fan base? The players ever get to the point where it'll be impossible for them to win back the fans? Is Pods there? Is Adamas there? Is Devers there? Is Dunleavy there as a GM? When does Posey get there, if he does? Hey, no one plans to call a lawyer, but a lot of people wish they had sooner, because after an accident, the clock starts immediately. Insurance companies move fast. They call, they record, they push for answers, and one wrong move, saying too much, signing too early, trusting the process, can cost you thousands. That's why waiting is the biggest mistake you can make. Call Beam Law first, before you speak to insurance, before you agree to anything, and before you risk your case. This isn't just a claim, it's your recovery, it's your income, and it's your future. Beam Law has recovered millions for clients across the Bay Area and has been named Best of the Bay by SF Weekly 4 times. So if you've been injured or lost someone due to someone else's negligence, don't wait. Call Beam Law now at 415-523-5555. That's 415-523-5555. Or visit hurtinthebay.com. That's hurtinthebay.com, because it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. Beam Law, they've got your back, Bay Area.
I apologize to absolutely no one.
But if I got a warrant, bro, I'm about to stay out here.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up at noon today, the great Lorenzo Neal going to be joining us. Haven't talked to him in a little while. Looking forward to touching base with Lowe. And we're talking about the Niners. They beat the Chargers last night, 41-17.
Wow.
And a lot of positive signs from their young players. Kalon Black, 8 carries, 33 yards. A couple second effort runs that were impressive. Dejon Stribling's the guy, though. He's the guy that most fans are talking about as the young player that looks to be interesting. He had 4 receptions for 46 yards yesterday, and it looks like he can't help but have a role on this team this year.
Yeah, because there's a help wanted sign in the 49er wide receiver room, you know? And obviously you got the veterans and Mike Evans, and hopefully he stays healthy. Deebo Samuel, I don't know what to make of him, but hopefully they all can help. But Black Stribling's down. It's not just the yards. It's just he just looks like he's been around here before. Like he just got some throw me the ball, I'm going to catch it. And he, not only did he illustrate that with Brock Purdy early on a couple third downs, Matt Jones came in there with his laser arm and – Stribling, you know, picked up right where he left off. Like, I just like his catch radius, Donnie, and I could just see him making a big imprint. And I got to be careful here because I want to give Kyle more credit for what he's done at the wide receiver position, but it's kind of not paying dividends because of the situation with Ayuk. But we know Ayuk popped. And, Wes Oakland Holloway just got mad at me because I said Pearsall was dynamic. I said when he played, he made dynamic plays. We saw that, but he can't remain healthy. But now it looks like Stribling may be the next receiver that, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch dubbed could help this team. Thus far in preseason, it looks like he has the goods.
So last night after the game, Jim Harbaugh, the coach of the Chargers, was talking about Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan is synonymous with the 49ers. He may be more important to this team than Purdy or any player on the team. And so I just want you to take, because there's more to this than just what he says, because I want to get into just kind of the way Kyle Shanahan's talked about. But take a listen to what Jim Harbaugh said about Shanahan after the game last night.
When you look across the sideline at Kyle Shanahan and what he's been able to build in San Francisco, what type of coach do you see? What are some of the things that you admire?
Yeah, an elite coach. Proof's in the pudding. Done a tremendous job.
Proof is in the pudding, you know?
I think there's something about the way football people talk about Shanahan that's just different than the way they talk about some other people. And I think it plays into why a segment of 49er fans feel like Kyle Shanahan maybe is overpraised. And if I were to say this to you, how would you respond? And it's just a feeling. It's just a feeling.
Leroy.
It does feel to me like if you stacked up all the coaches in NFL history who have not won a Super Bowl, that Shanahan gets more of a benefit of the doubt despite not winning it than any of the other coaches who haven't won it. And I do think there's something about and even if all the accolades are right and he deserves them all, there's something about the way they talk about Shanahan, and it is almost as though he sort of gets elevated into a group of coaches that he hasn't officially joined yet, and that is Super Bowl champion coaches. And I think that's one of the things that may rub some 49er fans wrong. But 888-957-9570.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I feel like the way the national media and coaches talk about Shanahan, and certainly the way that his big time supporters feel about him, that yes, they give him some benefit of the doubt that other coaches don't get. Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, and I apologize to you last week when this happened, but you came in and you made the comparison and I tried to rebuke it. And then I said, I went home, even sent you a text. Wow, I see what you were talking about. But how is, and I got to be careful here. Rest in peace, Don Nelson. But he got his flowers without winning at all because of his creativity, his innovativeness. Isn't that what we're watching with Kyle? Isn't that his specialty, his offense, play calling scheme, the ability to uplift an average quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, take Mr. Irrelevant to the Super Bowl, pay him and make him in to what he is now? Wouldn't that mimic like the Don Nelson, why he got his flowers, although, not winning it, and Kyle still has a chance to win it? Wouldn't I say that parallel that you brought in last week is kind of...
Well, this is what I'm talking about. Don Nelson did his job for 31 years. And in 31 years, over 31 years, he proved himself to be an unbelievable mind. He never won a title, never got to the finals. Did he ever have the best team? I don't believe so. Like, Shanahan's coached 9 years. He's been like, this is the thing that, and I don't really want to get into who's a better coach, but Harbaugh was here 4 years and went to a Super Bowl. Shanahan's been here 9 years and gone to two. Like, that's the same ratio. That means had Harbaugh stayed here 8 years, he would have gotten to two if you do it that way. And what I'm getting at is if you extrapolate Harbaugh and give him the same 4 years over eight, it's like he actually does compare quite well with Shanahan. But ask anybody, I got to believe 90% of the people are still going to take Shanahan. Well, to me, they're just two coaches who haven't gotten it done yet, but I feel like Shanahan gets elevated to a point that other coaches don't, who haven't won it all like he hasn't won it all.
Mm. I think I get your ratio component to this, but just off that soundbite, I don't think, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I don't think he, said much extra in regard to, he's a hell of a coach. The proof is in the pudding in regard to the four NFC championship visits and the two Super Bowls that he didn't win and had a hand in losing them. So, I'm trying to think of another coach that's up there, maybe getting elevated, that hasn't done it, like you think Kyle is.
Nobody. There's nobody that – is there an NFL coach right now in the NFL who hasn't won a title who gets more praise than Kyle Shanahan? The answer is no. I mean, you bring up McDermott in Buffalo. I know he's not there. Yeah. Had a good run. Well, Kyle's better than him. Why? Well, because Kyle's gone farther. Okay. But, I do think there's something there with, Shanahan gets more breaks in terms of his failures than most coaches who've come up short like him.
Yeah, and I hold him accountable, me personally, because of what he had, especially when these guys are a lot younger. I'm going back to 2019, and then shortly thereafter where I came into, and a lot of people did, came into the NFL seasons thinking the Niners were the best team in football. And I fault Shanny for, certain stuff, play calling or whatnot, overtime rules, whatever you want on why he's ringless. But still, at the end of the day, I just feel like Steiny, he's one of the top three coaches in the league now, and that's just how I feel. And I think, now you're not saying Harbaugh said anything extra because that was kind of basic,
But there it is. You just said that Kyle's one of the top three coaches in the league. So automatically, he's better than John Harbaugh, who's achieved more than him. Andy Reid has achieved more than him. McVay has achieved more than him. So, Sirianni. that's kind of my point is, I don't know in what other sport we would say a guy's a top three coach when there's six coaches in the league that have achieved more than him.
Yeah, but your word, you know, Stani, is nuanced, and it's not like he's not had his team in the big game, and the Niners have had their chances to actually get it done. They didn't, but then you come down my road sometimes when I put people above certain people, players, coaches, because of the bling.
Right. What I'm getting at is Shanahan gets talked about like he has a Super Bowl ring. That's the way I do feel. Like, and you know, cavalierly, like, you know, obviously, oh, Shanahan's a better coach than Mike McDonald. Okay, but why do you say that? Like, well, why would people say that?
But if you were, if
McDonald
we were to do a deep
has
dive,
achieved a higher level,
and
of
he
coaching.
Beat him on the way twice, so. I mean, there's something there to where somebody said, I would take McDonald. I think I did it last week or this week to you. Like McVay and McDonald, while beating Shanahan on the way to the chip. Okay, this is a different iteration of the Niners for Kyle Shanahan, but who cares? They played eight quarters, and Mike McDonald, if you want to go off that ratio. And I mean, year two, Stani, like, man, that's impressive. So if somebody said that, I wouldn't fall out the chair that they would take McDonald over Kyle.
Right. But most people would be like, oh, Kyle.
See, I learned my lesson with our big – I mean, it was a hell of a fight, man, a debate with Andy Reid. I just did, and I lost that because he went on, and now he's got sitting with multiple rings, and I tried to put him in a box because of what he didn't do, but how many times he had got close, you know?
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. Andy Reid was in Philly, I think, 9 or 10 years. Was it 12 or 13?
Five NFC champ. Go ahead.
And
one Super Bowl.
Kyle Shanahan is talked way better about than Andy Reid after 9 years in Philly. Kyle Shanahan has not received the criticism that Andy Reid received in Philadelphia, even though Andy Reid has had a very similar run in Philly for his first 10 years that Kyle has had here.
What's your leader real quick in the clubhouse on why you think that is? His dad? What do you think it is?
I think it has partly to do with his dad. I think part of it is the fact that, yes, he is a good coach.
Right.
He's a good coach. But I think that one of the bigger reasons is, and I don't know if he does it intentionally or not, but, like, I've been here for 9 years, and when Kyle Shanahan, it's always been about Kyle Shanahan here. I don't know why, but my perception is Shanahan has never been anything but the most important entity or personality or figure for the San Francisco 49ers, and I think he just has a way of making that so. I think other coaches are more willing to, bottom line, allow their players to take the credit. Mm. But Shanahan has a way of coaching where it's just kind of got to be about him.
Now, how about the market? Do you think the market plays into would Kyle be any more, which is crazy to me, but would he be on any more of a hot seat if he were in Philly with going to the Super Bowl, losing them twice?
Good question.
But if that were the case, I would tell that city or whatnot, like, don't forget what he's built and what he's done and how, like, and again, I know you, come on, Goo, that don't even sound like you. It does matter that he's gotten close twice and almost.
Well, it matters more that he's gotten close twice than that Marv Levy got close four times. Marv Levy's a loser. No,
well,
he couldn't get over the hump.
But he's a great coach, man.
Okay,
right.
But that's not how he's remembered. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan is thought, like, no. First and foremost, Kyle Shanahan is an unbelievable innovator. Secondly,
maybe
that just
it.
Hasn't gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he gets the benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
I just do. But that doesn't mean he's not a great coach, and it doesn't mean I'd want him fired.
Right.
I'm just saying that I believe of all the non-Super Bowl winning coaches, for whatever reason, I just don't think he takes the hit that other coaches take.
I don't like him.
Now, shout out Priest. I got to be careful here. They did not, the Niners, win a Super Bowl last year. We all know that, right? But Steiny, in my gut, it almost feels like they did in the sense that they won 12 games and a road playoff game.
This is what I'm talking about.
But you know I'm no, like I'm the guy, I come down this road, I'm fair, like, so you know I'm not over here in rose-colored glasses or, you know, I'm on the Kyle Shanahan payroll. You just think that's too much, even if the coach's name was Jim Brown, huh?
Like, he had a good year coaching last year.
I would say, it was great with what they had to endure.
Okay. Did anybody else do a great coaching job last year of a team that only won one playoff game?
Well, I just look at the situation and the standard in Kansas City where they didn't even qualify of injuries, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they also have a quarterback that is a little bit different than Brock Purdy, I would say.
So let me ask you this. If you could grab the mic at a luncheon right now, and go up and say something about Kyle to the masses, what would you say? He's you just think he's getting too much praise for not having a chip?
Yeah, exactly. Right. We don't talk about, like, people don't talk about Kyle Shanahan. Like, just looking down the list, who hasn't gotten it done? Jim Harbaugh, he can't get it done.
LaFleur.
It's like, I don't know.
Campbell.
Maybe I'm wrong. Let's go to K Bueno and Hayward. Hey, K Bueno, how you doing?
Happy Friday, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, Steiny, I'm riding with you on this 1,000%, man. I mean, love Shanahan. You know, the Niners have been brought back to prominence in the league as, you know, one of the top teams since he's taken over. Not going to take that away from him. But I do think, this reference of him as being one of the top three coaches in the league is overstepping a bit. I mean, yeah, he's certainly an innovator. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, see as an offensive calling coach, you know, that's, he's kind of riding the coattails from the times when he was an OC. You know, people were talking about him before he was even a head coach, like, oh, he's the next great mind in the league. And yeah, he certainly is offensively, you know, a hell of a caller, hell of a coach too. Yeah. He's done a lot with less, as we saw just recently last season, but, you know, it, as Herm Edwards say, you play to win the game.
Right.
And there's other coaches that got to the top of the mountaintop and that Shanahan's not there yet. So I think him being put in the same class as like the Andy Reeves and the McVays or even McDonald. I mean, McDonald right now has got his number.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Shanahan, he's been getting figured out by these other coaches. So for us to kind of put Shanahan as like one of these top coaches in the league, I think he's slowly descending a bit from there because other coaches are passing him up. And yeah, we're still remaining competitive and he's certainly turned us around. But until he gets that chip under his belt, he's kind of going to be a 1A next to these other coaches that are top tier.
I appreciate the call, K Bueno.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm being true blue, Steiny. To the core. I think it was Monday. You and I had this conversation. You might have been gone. It was Evan and I about where we ranked Kyle, and I just was uncomfortable, and I didn't do it, and I put McDonald and McVay ahead of him. And, you know, that's just how I feel because I feel so strongly about getting it done, but also when you got the component that you can add on both coaches while getting it done when they did, went through the Niners, that matters to me. But then I turned around and said, hey, you know, if you ask me who do I want coaching my team out of those three, it would be Kyle.
Right. So, exactly.
But
so
on the rankings, I stay true. Well, like,
so you have it both ways. I mean, like, you're kind of doing exactly what I'm saying. And, again, if you think Kyle's a better coach than those guys, like, that's fine. But, like, here's
he's
another
not
thing.
As accomplished.
Here's another. Okay, so with, like, I'm fascinated by Shanahan's relationship with his quarterbacks and how much he trusts certain quarterbacks and how much he doesn't trust other quarterbacks and what he didn't let Garoppolo do and slowly but surely what he's letting Brock Purdy do more and more of and what he didn't let Trey Lance do any of. And here's the thing I don't think there's some quarterbacks that he really wants to cut. And people go, look what he did with Matt Ryan. And I'm sorry, it's like, that's irrelevant. He was an offensive coordinator at the time. He was not a head coach. He did not have the personality he has now. He did not have the power he has now. So he was an assistant coach that had a really good quarterback in Matt Ryan, and he got the most out of him while he was an assistant coach. So as an assistant coach, he couldn't have coached him, this a guy like Matt Ryan, as an assistant. He could never a guy like that as a head coach. He just couldn't, because he's 10 years in now, and he's got a way to do it. And if you don't want to do it his way, you're probably not going to be the quarterback.
Now, what about this? Because I just want to bring this up. Even though he was a coordinator, and I'm not saying you're saying he's getting different type of treatment, but it kind of sounds like that. People still have called, when we talk about Kyle, that choke job of 28-3, even though he wasn't head coach, people bring that up on Kyle.
So are you arguing, like, you think Kyle Shanahan doesn't get overpraised? Which is just fine.
I think it's
almost glaring at this point.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with, playoff record?
I think it has a lot to do with that. He's a damn good coach.
Like, outside of the Super Bowl, his playoff record is 9-3. Without the Super Bowls. I'm saying if you take...
Okay,
everyone
gotcha.
Holds
gotcha.
The two the playoffs, losses gotcha. Against
okay.
him.
Okay, okay.
As well they should.
No, agree. Do you think that he's a better head coach than Mike Tomlin?
I got my answer.
I mean... Go ahead. What's your answer?
I was going to say yes.
Okay. And that's, like, I'm not sure we do that.
Mike Tomlin's 8-12 in the playoffs.
I know. But
he has a ring.
Right. I'm not saying you can't have Kyle better than Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the fact that we elevate Shanahan up into Tomlin's group is something that we don't normally do with guys who haven't gotten it done. Like, if somebody said, who's a better coach, Mike Tomlin or Marv Levy? I think everybody would say Mike Tomlin.
I would need some time. Like, 4 trips to the Super Bowl? Like, Marv didn't slip down.
Okay, didn't Tomlin go like 20 years without ever going under 500? I think Mike Tomlin's a better coach than, and it's not just because of the one Super Bowl, but the one Super Bowl to me is what people point to.
Now, what about, tell me if this matters to you and Evan, what about when a coach has an expertise on one side of the ball, and it's obvious that Kyle's brilliant.
Then he's North Turner.
On offense. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that goes into why maybe we look at Kyle, you know, to your point, a bit more. But I'm just looking at what he did to help Jimmy Garoppolo, and now Brock Purdy, two visits to the Super Bowl without a Big Ben. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, I can't unsee that, Stoney, and he's a part of it. I'm not saying the dude's perfect, Kyle, but man, how many coaches can do that? That makes me, you know, give Kyle more credit. Like, you are bringing something to the table. Okay. And right. McVay, like, if you told me you take McVay over Kyle, I have no problem with that.
Well, you shouldn't.
Right.
You shouldn't because he's got a better regular season record.
I got you.
Almost as good as a postseason record, and he's got a Super Bowl.
And I don't want to hear the regular season head up. Remember, I told you.
But what I'm saying is, I'll bet you a lot of people would be like, I'll take Shanahan over McVay. Oh, really? Okay. All right. I mean, I just don't know how you arrive at that unless you're like, I'm basing it on regular season head-to-head.
Right.
Okay, well then it's
probably
Shanahan.
Well, he does have a better record against him head-to-head.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the only way anybody takes Shanahan is if you say...
Regular season.
The regular season. Well, it's like...
The NFC Championship don't count.
Is that what we're really going to use?
No, I'm not, and I don't.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Our football coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. That segment was also brought to you by Ceramani Ford.